it truly is a pivotal point in history for mankind, Lord. And sometimes I feel like I'm maybe a little callous to it, growing up knowing about it, read about it, teach about it. Would you just keep my heart soft to you and what you've done and accomplished? Thank you. Just before I get into that, so we're working our way through Micah 6:8. You can turn there if you have your Bible with you. It's in the Old Testament, in those little Bible names back there. I don't know how your summer's been going, but summer, man, I know I said this last week, I love summer. I so enjoy it. I enjoy the change in routine it brings. I like being able to be at home pretty much most evenings with my kids. To have that time, it's a real gift. This past week, on Friday night, we were able to, as youth leaders, so all of the youth leaders, junior and senior ones, we got our grads together, our three grads, and we took them out for the evening and we just had a good time with them. We took them out for supper, and we did an escape room, and there's like 14 of us, and for some reason, it was truly like Mennonite style. There's seven guys and seven girls. We were even Steven. It was weird. And during supper, someone pointed that out and sort of said, hey, for the games room or the escape room, we should do like a guys one and a girls one. And for those that don't know what an escape room is like your team, your whole group or whatever, you're put in this room and there's like it's like a character room, like you're on an adventure, okay? The room that I was in was called the bunker, and so it looked like we were like in this army bunker. There's like radio, ham radio stuff, and there's like World War I guns on the wall and like posters and all of this stuff, all the chaos that you don't know, there's clues to help you advance you in the storyline. And in my storyline, we were trying to save the world from like this virus outbreak or something like that. And so someone at supper time said, hey, it's even, like guys and girls, we should do guys versus girls. And I was like, okay, that sounds kind of cool. That'll be fun. Hopefully Shauna won't be mad at me afterwards if we beat her or if she beats us. We get there, so the guys go into the bunker, the girls go into like this hurricane-themed one, and I'm going to stay humble. You had a tie. It wasn't a tie. All I got to say, if you're going to go do this, bring Jason Weens with you. That's all I'm going to say. We smashed that room, thanks to Jason Weens. We had a great time, and it's a real honor to get together as a team to do that. And the best part, it's like we were out like in 24 minutes. Okay, like we were out crazy fast. Like the guy running the room was kind of like even like, what, you're done already? Like how? But the best part is like, so you can always get hints and you can get help. And you push a button, and they come, and they help you with the next thing or whatever. And one of the other rooms, they were the girls' team. They were getting a hint at the time that we walked out of our door, and we're like, we did it! And you could hear them like, they're out already? Oh, it was awesome. I was so proud of those guys. We did good. But today we're going to talk about mercy. Okay? And mercy is, it's been an interesting journey for me to be thinking about and reflecting about it this week, because honestly, I feel like I haven't been the most merciful dad this week. It's been difficult. When I say I love summer, I love the change of everything. Man, you mums, you're awesome. Mums who are at home all the time with their kids, you are awesome. And just a reminder of how, when we call God the Father, how He orchestrated things with our relationships that we have. Sometimes I think on purpose to mirror our relationship with him to help us better understand. I want to read Micah 6:8 together. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Now, just a couple things that I said last week. One being when it says, oh man, this word can actually be human, translated to human. So girls, don't feel left out that this isn't just for the guys in the room. But I think this is for all of us. It's also, the prophet is kind of addressing an issue of giving a life verse in this passage, and I really like that. Working with young people, I mentioned that this is kind of like one of the verses that probably is on my short list of favorite verses in the Bible, simply because I really think it gives us this like this simple understanding of a way that God wants us to live our life. I drew our attention to Jesus' response of the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. I really think this passage and that passage, they're actually very similar in how we live these things out. The other beautiful thing about this verse that I love is that it's not saying, like, be more like Moses, you know? Or be more like your older brother. Be more like your mom or your dad. There's no name attached to God's encouragement in how to live our life. And I really hope that frees you up, because it's not saying, like, go be a nurse, go be a lawyer, go be a teacher, be a pastor, be a missionary. I think all those things, all these vocations still fit into how God wants to live our life. And I hope that encourages you. One of the things that I also think is when showing mercy, when you have had a moment of experiencing mercy, I think it's easier to give mercy. Does that make sense? And I kind of want that. I wanted to say that before we get into this, so that you see the context of what I'm trying for us to understand here. So mercy, the definition of mercy, and in this verse too, love mercy, love kindness. That's the kind of thing we're talking about here. It is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within their power to punish or harm. Okay, so mercy is when someone has a place that they can give, a place of power where they can give punishment, they can extend forgiveness or compassion. That is what mercy looks like and what it is. We should have did the cookie thing again this week to help you, for those that weren't here last week. But last week we invited some of the children that go downstairs up, and we gave them all a double stuffed Oreo cookie. And we had a couple of the high school students up here. Caleb and Joel were up here as well, but they had special instructions what they're supposed to do. And I told them, okay, you all have your cookie on your hand, and if you could wait while I wasn't watching them, and when I finally turn around after about 20 seconds, I'll give you a second cookie if your cookie is still there. Okay, and so some little children were here that had their cookies, and Caleb's instructions, he was supposed to sabotage it. He was supposed to take Joel's cookie. That was his instructions, okay, his mission, and he chose to accept it. I didn't even have to talk him into it. And Caleb reached over, and he took Joel's cookie. Now, interesting thing is, like, one of the kids over here, Hutch, my son Hutch, he didn't notice it happen over here. So then afterwards, when I'm going around to give cookies out to everyone, except for Joel, because his hand was empty. He didn't have his cookie still. Hutch was just like, yeah, I got a second cookie. He was unaware of what was going on. But Jasana was like, wait, my daughter. It's like, Caleb took Joel's cookie. This wasn't right here, because we're talking about justice, okay? This isn't right. Joel still deserves his cookies. He didn't eat it. Caleb took it. Okay? And so we talked about how justice, there's two things. Like, there's primary justice where you live a just life. So in that case, that example, you don't eat the cookie. I'm focused on not eating the cookie. But there's also a secondary justice where you need to enter in and be a voice and see justice happen for those around you. So like, Hutch, I didn't eat my cookie. I got another cookie. Yes, I'm doing this. I'm winning, right? That's us sometimes. That's me sometimes. Josanna over here has her cookie. She's getting a second cookie. But Dad, something's wrong over here. We need to make this right. This isn't right here. We have to. That's justice. Now, in that example, mercy is, so let's say I, as the giver of the cookies, was totally unaware of this, right? Like this Caleb Joel thing, that none of that was set up, right? And that happened. And I, as the guy going around giving out cookies, I see Joel has no cookie, right? And in my view of being in this power and authority right now, and I'm just, well, I told you to still have a cookie on your hand and you didn't, but I see you're about to cry, or you weren't really about to cry, Joel, you weren't. But maybe I see sadness or whatever, and I'm like, well, you know what? I know you ate your cookie, and I got a whole bunch of cookies. I'm going to give you a cookie, so I have compassion here, right? I don't know the context of what's going on, but I still see Caleb has his cookie, and I give him another cookie. And someone pointed this out after the message, was like, Darren, it still wasn't fair. Like, these guys have got two cookies, and Caleb got three cookies. Okay? It kind of speaks to how we're wired, right? When we see things that aren't fair or equal, it pushes buttons in us. And so in this verse, through the prophet, God's saying, you know, like, I want you to act justly. And I want you to love mercy. And I really feel like in that simple, like that simple thing of just these cookies. And like, the cookies for us, the cookies are different things, right? Like, I know you get that. But in each of our own lives, we're sitting there and we're looking at something in our hand and we want that. And we're like, if I just do this, I'm going to get more. It could be anything. It could be love. It could be relationship. It can be our own messed up ideas of how God views us even. Or we might be sitting there looking at someone else and saying, well, I got mine. And come on, we're going to make it right for them, you know? And then there's some of us who are just like, that's still not fair, right? Like it just, that's the life we live. This is the way things happen in relationship with people. And then God talks about love, mercy. So mercy is receiving what we do not deserve. And I mean, a word we often use is grace in our church. And grace is receiving... grace is receiving what we do not deserve. So like punishment, we deserve punishment, but we don't get it. That is grace. Well, mercy is not receiving, no, am I saying that right? Receiving what we do not deserve is grace. And mercy is not receiving what we do deserve. So I deserve the punishment, but God extends mercy and says, I'm not going to give it to you right now. At the very beginning, I said, showing mercy is often motivated when you realize you have experienced mercy. I want to share a story, one of my favorite Bible stories, Luke 19, you can turn there, where I see Jesus showing mercy. And I'm going to give you guys a chance to share what stories come to mind when you think of Jesus. I find it interesting, like how I said in Micah 6:8 and in the Greatest Commandment, God doesn't give us a name of someone to follow as an example. I really think Jesus lived out both act justly and love mercy. And I see it in the stories when I read about him. You've made your way to Luke 19. That's the first 10 verses of the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, the sinner. Very quickly. So Zacchaeus is this man who collects taxes, and he's Jewish. Okay, he's a Jewish man, and he's working for the Roman government. So he's kind of like this middleman, and his job is to give the Roman government the money from this population where he lives, and he collects it from them, and he gives it to the Roman government. He has freedom in his job to take more than he's supposed to, because that's his position. That's how he gets paid, makes his income. Now, the Jewish people, they did not like this role, this person, this job, and this person was an outsider. He was not let into Jewish life, and there's a lot of walls, and the religious people especially, and a tax collector, they're not buddies. So Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. How would he get wealthy? Collecting too much taxes, right. And who's he getting it from? Right. The Jewish people. And he's Jewish. So he's stealing from his friends, his family, his people, his kinmen. And he was wealthy. Verse 3. He wanted to see who Jesus was. He wanted to see who Jesus was. Have you ever been there? In that spot where you're like, I want to know who Jesus is. I feel like I do regularly. I have these seasons where I'm just like, I just want to know who you are, Jesus. I want more of you. And I often, like Zacchaeus, make a plan to try and figure that out. How I can figure out who Jesus is, okay? So Zacchaeus, here's his situation. He's a short man. But being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he wants to see who Jesus is. It even sounds like he just wants a glimpse of the guy so that he can say, yeah, I saw Jesus, right? But he's in a crowd, and he's short. And he knows Jesus is in the crowd, or he's nearby or something, but he's short. He can't see Jesus, and he's in there. You know? I want to see him. I start thinking of my kids, right? Like, Dad, I want a cookie. I want something, right? And you're like, no, you can't have it. Do they just say, oh, okay, sure, no problem. Right? It's like, no, I'm going to get that cookie. How can I get that cookie? They can be good. They can steal it, sneak it, do whatever they, like, in their mind, try to make a plan. So we have Zacchaeus, he's down here. I got to see him. And he's like, okay, what? He's walking that way? He's headed down that road. Well, I know where that road goes. So you see little Zacchaeus run around, runs around the crowd. He makes a plan to get ahead of Jesus. Verse 4. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, Jesus, since Jesus was coming that way. This is beautiful. This is a wealthy, rich man who's short. And he's running ahead of the crowd, around the crowd, to climb a tree. There's just a lot of things I find in this that, like, I think of, I won't say that. I see a lot of things that, like, how in their society, like, he kind of threw caution to the wind. And it's like, I just want to see Jesus. Like, he doesn't want to talk to Jesus. He doesn't want to have a conversation with Jesus. He just wants to see the guy. It doesn't tell us why he wants to see it. Like, did he, I would, like, we assume he's heard the stories, okay? Like, he's heard stories about Jesus, heard people talk about it, heard about healings, miracles, people wondering if he's the Messiah, right? But he wants to see Jesus. And I love this. Luke 19, verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, What spot did he reach? The sycamore tree. Good job. Okay. He looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. What? Okay, religious people don't hang out with the tax collectors, right? They don't interact. They don't meet with each other. Jesus gets to the tree where Zacchaeus is. Does he divinely know Zacchaeus' name? Maybe. Maybe he asks someone what his name is. Anyway, Jesus has Zacchaeus' name. And he calls Jesus, or calls Zacchaeus by name up in the tree. Zacchaeus, come on down immediately. Okay. If you're the rich, short guy in the tree, I don't know that he really wants to be seen in the tree. Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't care. I'm imagining he probably was kind of hoping no one would notice him up there, but he sees Jesus. He's up in this tree. He's up there, right? Like, up in this little tree, right? And Jesus sees him. Please, one second. Just put yourself in Zacchaeus. You're in this tree. You made this plan. You ran ahead. You wanted to see Jesus. Now you see Jesus, and he's saying your name. Jesus didn't have to do that. Jesus just could have kept on walking, and Zacchaeus would have been like, climb down and, like, go tell people, hit him in the shoulder, I saw Jesus, you know? And, like, people are like, stop hitting me, you know? But that's not how the story goes. He's up in this tree, and Jesus sees him, calls his name, and Zacchaeus comes down. Now I can just see little Zacchaeus pump up his chest and stand by Jesus, right? I'm coming to your house. So he came down, Zacchaeus at once, and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter. The crowd. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. This is Jesus, the Messiah, the one who's raising people from the dead, healing, making food multiply. People who couldn't walk are now walking. People who couldn't see can see because of Jesus. And the church, not the church, sorry, the religious organization at the time, they had a lot of rules. And now Jesus is going. He publicly identifies with Zacchaeus in this crowd and says, I'm going to your house. And the crowd starts talking. He's gone to be the guest of a sinner. The rumor mill is going. Maybe they're saying, we got to pray for Jesus. Things are being shared. Glances are being made, assumptions. It kind of jumps ahead, it seems like, here in the story. Verse 8, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. I see Zacchaeus as this guy who's hurting, And he just wants to see God, get a glimpse. And he kind of wants to see, what are you going to do with me, Jesus? How are you going to handle this? If I put this out there, like I'm just putting myself in your path, will you notice me? Will you take what I say? And what will you do with that? And I'm just going to assume for a second that maybe you're like me in this. And I've had conversations where people, where they have said something. And maybe I was immature. I was young. Maybe I wasn't listening. I was going fast in my mind. And how I respond next to what they just shared was actually a test on their behalf. And I was unaware of it. But they wanted to feel out how I would take that information and respond. And I know this one situation, because it's come around, and it was like one of those family things, right? And I just had no idea that they were talking about themselves, actually, when they were saying they weren't talking about themselves. And I was just like, well, whatever, you know, like this. And man, sometimes I wish I could go back and change that. But I just didn't know. And I see Zacchaeus here in this moment, sort of putting this out before Jesus, and Jesus loves on him. Jesus gives time to him. He enters into his house. And Zacchaeus changes. He changes completely. He says, I'm giving half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anything, I'm paying them back four times as much. Then Jesus stands up and he says to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. When you think of Jesus, what kind of stories come to your mind where you see like a mercy or kindness extended by Jesus? Okay, so children coming up to Jesus and him sort of, the disciples sort of saying, no, get the kids out. And he's like, no, let them come. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Saying the woman that came and wept, and like even her tears were like washing, so wet, washed Jesus' feet. And how the Pharisee were kind of like, I got her out of here. And Jesus defends her, right? Woman at the well. Yeah, the Samaritan woman at the well. And how he came and sat down and entered into her life, really, and had a full conversation and new details about her life. Okay, yeah. The woman caught in adultery. And they only brought her and not the other guy, right? Bringing her to Jesus, and was like, we got a stoner, Jesus. Jesus even writes something in the dirt and makes all the guys sort of like drop their rocks. Yeah. Bread and fishes. Okay, yeah. So like the crowd's hungry, and Jesus is like, we got to feed them, and he... They end up just having a couple loaves of bread and some fish, and he multiplies it and feeds everyone. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so give to Caesar what is Caesar and give to God what is God. Okay, yeah. 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 On the cross, Jesus said, God, forgive them, because they do not know what they do. Yeah. Wow. Maybe one more? Yeah. Okay, when Jesus is on the cross, and he says to the thief there, he's like, hey, I can, you'll be with me in paradise today, right? Yeah. I already said this, but like Jesus in a lot of these stories, he shows kindness and mercy to those that the religious people would say didn't deserve it. Jesus gave his time. He enters into their life, and a lot of stories he goes and has meals with them, eats at the same table with them, goes into their houses. In stories of healings, we hear Jesus touching people, putting his hands on them, when he simply could say the word. And he often publicly identifies himself with this, with them. In Matthew chapter 9, people were saying, like, he's spending time, or it's with Matthew, another tax collector, and Jesus saying, come follow me. And he goes to Matthew's house, and Jesus hears that people are complaining again that he's with these sinners. And Jesus says, is it not the healthy who need a it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Now before we jump to that, like, okay, we got to just get ourselves out there and go do things. I do agree that I think we do. Again, I think that God has equipped us all differently and called us differently. I would encourage you to guard yourself. Areas of struggle, maybe you're a former alcoholic. I don't necessarily think you should be going to the bars to minister to people. Maybe you had a past of stealing things, embezzling, those kind of white-collar crimes. Maybe you should guard yourself and not be in those areas of authority where you can be that person who might be tempted again. Do not go alone. Jesus had his disciples with him. They're watching and learning from him. He's being an example. Often we see Jesus escaping to be by himself, to go and pray with the Father, to spend time with him. The last thing I want to say is, in the passage it says, love mercy. The word love is before it. It does not say do mercy, but it says to love mercy. We're talking about doing something that requires compassion and forgiveness, mercy. And having the word love attached to that, of affection and of faithfulness, I don't think our mercy is supposed to be something we just check off of a box and say, yeah, did it. It's something that we do and we live out. Never do I keep a list, or I should be more honest, I try not to keep a list of saying, this is how I love Shauna today, and check it all off. But I try to enter in and be real and listen and have good habits and good practice. Because if I was just doing my love out of an action of checking boxes, trust me, it would not go well. Is that fair? Yeah, she's not. Okay, good. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to live a just life, but to also step in and to be a voice or a friend of those who need it, and to love with affection and faithfulness, mercy and kindness, those around us. In closing, I just want to read from 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do away with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love his brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Worship team.